Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Kevin Birmingham, and he is the author of the brand new book, The Sinner and the Saint, Dostoevsky and the Gentleman Murderer Who Inspired a Masterpiece. The book is available everywhere. And Kevin, you previously did this this type of book, telling the history of a classic novel. You did this with Ulysses. But this book here, I love the title, The Sinner and the Saint. Can you explain what you are referencing with that title?
Well, it's a little bit complex. Ultimately, I hope the reader comes to see that the sinner and the saint are both Dostoevsky. At the beginning, we begin to think of Dostoevsky himself as a saint, someone who is very interested in being benevolent, in being good. And in Lacenaire, who is the French murderer who partially inspired Crime and Punishment, as being a sinner, someone who kills people without remorse and who sort of flaunts the violence that he perpetrates against society. But Dostoevsky was a complicated person. He was contradictory. He was a double in himself, you might say, the way that he believes all of us are. And the impulses that Dostoevsky wanted to show in his character of Raskolnikov are impulses that he himself felt, impulses towards violence, impulses perhaps towards murder, and impulses that he was disgusted by and felt guilty by.
We read in the book, or I read in the book, that Dostoevsky spent years in exile, which I wasn't aware of, and I guess maybe I forgot that from my high school reading of Crime and Punishment, but his years in exile, how much did those particular years and what he went through to get there inspire, or could he have written, I guess my question is, could he have written Crime and Punishment without those years of exile?
No, not at all. He completely changed as a writer after being in Siberia. So he became a writer very early. He was celebrated as Russia's up-and-coming novelist at the tender age of 24. He was arrested when he was 28 and sent to Siberia for, you know, spreading free thinking and being opposed to the Tsar, or really more precisely opposed to the regime of serfdom. He was in a hard labor camp for about 4 years and served in the Siberian military for another 5 years. Everything that people read now from Dostoevsky, almost all of it, is from his post-Siberian years. When he was in Siberia, he was sleeping in the same room as over 200 criminals, serious criminals. Many of them were murderers. And he was fascinated by their stories and listened to them tell their own tales of murder, of theft, of crime. And he was morbidly curious about their deeds and ended up using many of those stories in his future career, including in The Brothers Karamazov. But his curiosity was relentless, and though he had thought of murder as a subject before going to Siberia, he had never actually met a murderer before. Once he had met murderers, the reality of what it meant to perpetrate violence against another person was all the more vivid.
When you say that the story that partially inspired Crime and Punishment, when you say partially inspired, it's just a tiny impetus. It's not like it parallels the crime really in any way. So can you explain how much the inspiration of it served as the impetus for the book and where the story ended up, which was published as a serial, took off?
Yeah, so there are a lot of small details to the plot that Dostoevsky borrowed from Lacenaire. But, you know, I think the most important thing is, Lacenaire was fascinating as a figure for Dostoevsky. He encountered the story in 1861 when he was looking for material for his own magazine. It's called Time. And what was captivating to Dostoevsky was not just the murders themselves, but the celebrity that grew up around Lacenaire. Lacenaire was handsome, he was stylish, he was eloquent, he was well-educated. He was all of the things that people tended not to think murderers were. Murderers were supposed to be impoverished. They were supposed to be completely separate creatures from the normal day-to-day person. When the trial took place in Paris in 1835, crowds came to see the details unfold in the courtroom. He was visited by multiple people. Everyone wanted to interview him. He was sent gifts and flowers and fruit baskets. People wrote him poetry. In the time between his trial and his execution by guillotine, he wrote his own memoirs. And in the memoirs, he tried to cast his actions as being an act of altruism for society. He said, you know, I come to preach the religion of fear to the rich, for the religion of love has no power over their hearts. He claimed that he was doing it in order to seek justice for an unjust society. Dostoevsky read this and could see the allure that came out of this claim of killing someone for an altruistic purpose. But he also saw, the most important thing, is that he saw that beneath all this was nothing. It was really just a perverse desire to murder for its own sake. And that is what he took primarily from Lacenaire.
I'm chatting with Kevin Birmingham about his brand new book, The Saint. I always do that. The Sinner and the Saint, Dostoevsky and the Gentleman Murderer Who Inspired a Masterpiece. Kevin, what was your premise going into this book? How much of the story did you know before you started researching it?
I knew a little bit about the story. What I did not know is that Lacenaire was writing his own memoir. And that, once I read that, he wasn't able to finish it because he got executed before it could be finished. Once I read that, I realized, oh, here's a good germ for a story. And once I realized how much Dostoevsky went through both to become a writer and to write Crime and Punishment in particular, I knew that there was something important to say about Dostoevsky's creativity, about how it worked, about what he did with the things that inspired him, and what it meant to be a writer. And that there were two compelling stories that could be interwoven and that were interesting in their own right. So people have been aware of the fact that Lacenaire is an inspiration for Crime and Punishment, but it hasn't been explored in any detail until now.
Is the research for something like this mostly available in Russia, or is there a lot in the United States that you're able to do?
Well, no. Luckily, almost everything that would be of interest to me anyway is translated and has been published in the United States. So that includes, for example, all of Dostoevsky's letters. It includes his notebooks for Crime and Punishment. There were multiple notebooks where we can see how the idea for the novel was changing under his hands, and it changed pretty dramatically. His wife's memoirs are available in translated diaries, accounts from his contemporaries. So one of the advantages of working with a writer as world-renowned as Dostoevsky is that there's so much interest in him, and that interest basically means that all the supporting materials, not all of them, but a large portion of the supporting materials are available for everyone to see.
Something I didn't know until I read your book is the influence that Victor Hugo's Les Miserables had on Dostoevsky, essentially rejuvenating his writing career. Can you explain how that came about?
Yeah, I mean, he was a huge fan of French realism in general, and it was sweeping Russia at the time. Dostoevsky spoke French. It was the only language, the only foreign language in which he was fluent, where he could read and write very well in. And he devoured Les Miserables like as soon as it came out. And Lacenaire was actually one of the figures that appears a couple times in Hugo's novel. It wasn't the first time that Dostoevsky was encountering him, but when he saw him again in Les Miserables, he started to realize how much of a hold Lacenaire was taking on French culture as a whole. And there were multiple French writers up through the 20th century who were interested in looking at Lacenaire as a bourgeois killer, someone who was trying to dismantle the bourgeois order of things from the inside out. And the fact that he would not be universally reviled by the West, by European culture, was a signal to Dostoevsky that there was something terribly wrong with what was happening in Western culture. And for him, it was a signal of the self-destructiveness that was at the heart of society and that he ultimately believed was at the heart of every individual.
Dostoevsky had been in exile, been sent to Siberia. He writes Crime and Punishment. Does he have a sense that he's in any political danger in Russia following the publication of the what became Crime and Punishment?
He was still under surveillance. Dostoevsky would remain under surveillance for basically the rest of his life. He was always a suspect figure. Once you are a convict, once you have been sentenced to exile by the Tsar, you are always suspicious, even when the Tsar, as in Dostoevsky's case, allows you to resettle back into European Russia. He did, however, grow more, pro-state over time. And so he was probably less and less of a, certainly less and less of a radical figure, and probably considered less and less threat. By the time he was writing Crime and Punishment, what you can see Dostoevsky doing is recognizing a new generation of radicals that was emerging in Russia. They called themselves the nihilists. And he recognized them because he saw himself in them. He saw his younger self in them. He sympathized to some degree with the aims of the nihilists, their desire to remake Russian society in a more just fashion. But he also wanted to caution against the excesses of nihilism and the excesses of believing that you can think your way towards rationality and goodness rather than feel your way towards that. So it was sort of a middle path where Dostoevsky sympathized with the radicals, but he wanted, I don't want to say the status quo, but he wanted the powers that be to continue to remain in power, but just to slowly evolve towards a more just and equal society.
When you say under surveillance, is this a formal type of surveillance?
Yes, they were reading his letters. They were watching him, especially when he left the country and was in Europe and was meeting other writers in Europe. He left quite a bit, partly because he was fleeing his creditors. He was in debt constantly, and he was gambling. And the only way to get rid of your creditors in Russia is to leave the country. But he was very much under surveillance, yeah, literally.
And as you've put this together now, I was curious, this isn't a biography of Dostoevsky, but nonetheless it's a biography of a certain era of his life. How close of a kinship do you feel to the time period and the era were you able to get just from doing research? Because we're talking, you know, almost 200 years ago.
You know, it was fascinating to me how much what was going on in 1860s Russia was similar to what is going on in the United States today. Dostoevsky was described Russia at the time as being divided into two hostile camps, and that those hostile camps were self-destructive. And he was captivated by the fact that these hostile camps couldn't even agree on a basic shared sense of reality, and that disagreement was ultimately harmful and self-destructive to society. And if Russian society wasn't able to unite back together again, it would be completely destructive. So, you know, just living in the United States for the past couple of years and seeing how we've been suffering under our own divisions was quite eye-opening, and I think really did cast a light on how we are today.
You've certainly tapped into a era of literature that's very interesting to me. The book is The Sinner and the Saint, Dostoevsky and the Gentleman Murderer Who Inspired a Masterpiece by Kevin Birmingham. The book's available everywhere. Kevin, I love the book, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Great. Thank you so much.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners are much more.